Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time to talk Utah football with a quarterback and captain here on the Bill Riley Show. This is a conversation with Cam Rising, presented by Nova Data Centers, renewable energy and waterless cooling, looking out for Utah's future. Now, here's Utah's field general and the voice of the Utes on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
All right, noontime on a Thursday here on the Bill Riley Show on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700. You know what Thursdays at noontime mean? They mean we talk Utah football with the QB1, the leader of the Utah football team. Cam Rising comes in each and every week, presented by our friends at Nova Data Centers. And big stretch of games coming up here for the Utes. Cam and the boys get to go to Southern California, back to the Rose Bowl this weekend. Then Southern California comes here next week. So, big back-to-back weeks. We'll have it for you Saturday at 9:30 pregame, 1:30 kickoff. And, yeah, the Utes and the Bruins. How you doing, Cam?
Doing good. I'm just happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here, yeah. Too. So, five games in. Four wins, one loss, undefeated in Pac-12 play. I'm just curious your big-picture assessment of, you know, you go anywhere you want. The team overall, the offense, yourself. Kind of give me your five games, and we're next week will be the halfway point, but we're getting close to it now, and there's a bigger sample size to deal with.
Yeah, I think the team's done a great job. I mean, losing one week one is never going to be easy, but I think we responded and really answered back, and that's the most important thing, and we just got to keep growing and keep getting better, and that's the main focus, really.
All right, judge yourself now. Cam Rising, five games in. Good QBR, and we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. Leading the Pac-12, six in the country. But how do you feel like you've played, and do you feel like you're getting close to where you were a year ago at this time?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've played good, but I think there's still meat left on the bone that's out there to be eaten. And yeah, I just want to make sure that we're moving the ball and being productive. And I don't really like to compare to last year or anything because it's a new year, new season, new team and everything, and yeah, just focusing on making sure that we're improving each and every week.
If you had to pick one spot where you want to get better, just say this week, okay, based on the five you've played already, if you're picking a spot where you would like to be better this week down at the Rose Bowl, where would it be?
Probably just throwing more completions, making sure that I'm just getting the ball to the playmakers and letting them make the plays and just keep the ball moving in the right direction that way.
So give me your read on last week. It was, you know, I said to people this week, because, you know, people always like to nitpick, oh, the offense didn't put up big numbers. Well, there's something to that because defense gave you a lot of short fields. Yeah. But you put up 35 points. And I said on Monday, I think I may have said it after the game Saturday too, the sign of a really good team is when you make a good team look bad.
Yeah.
And I think that Oregon State team, despite their losses in back-to-back weeks, oh, by the way, they lost to the number 6 and the number 11 team in the country. I still think that's a good team. But I said, you know, I think Utah's a really good team, because when you can make a good team look bad, and you guys made Oregon State look bad, that's a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to the defense, because they did a great job holding it down and really making sure that it was hard to score in the red zone. And they were getting the ball back and giving us great field position so many times. And yeah, anytime you can do that, it's gonna be great success for the team.
Yeah, and again, you know, people talked a little bit. And I think sometimes it comes up because there hasn't been a big rushing game this year from a running back. Nobody's had that TJ Pledger game from a year ago, yeah. Or Tavion had a couple of big games. But, you know, you guys are still averaging 200 yards a game rushing. And maybe some of it, too, was you were the leading rusher on Saturday. Yeah. But you still went for 162. But I did say this,
good teams, and again, I'll say Oregon State's a good team, and their defense is much improved. Sometimes good teams can take things away.
Absolutely.
And you have to adjust and go from there.
Yeah, they were loading up the box, making it hard, bringing the safeties in, running quarters. And anytime you do that, it means an extra guy is going to be in the box. And stopping an extra guy is always going to be difficult because they sometimes know what plays we're going to be running just because they watch film and they study and they're on scholarship too. So they feel those gaps fast and make it challenging for the offense.
But did you feel like the offense did what it was supposed to do last week, even though the numbers weren't necessarily eye-popping?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a production-based business, and we were producing, making sure that ball was moving in the right direction, flipping the field, and putting the ball in the end zone when it mattered, and that's the most important part of it.
When you look at your stat line, what's the first thing you go to? I don't know how much you're paying attention, if you're looking at the scoreboard to see what your numbers are during the game or if anybody's given you your numbers, but when you do look at your stat line, is there a spot that you go to first? Is there a number that interests you the most on that stat line, that quarterback stat line?
I usually like to see the completion percentage. That gives you a good idea of how the game went and how everything unfolded, really. And then you get to kind of piece that apart and see what incompletions there were, what completions, and take it from there. But, yeah, that's usually the first thing I'm checking. I know QBR is another good thing to see, and I know Coach Witt loves that.
So, yeah, and we'll talk about that in a second, but that usually doesn't come on the stat sheet right after the game.
Yeah.
That's something they calculate a little bit later on. You get that later that night or the next day. But that's what I was curious because, you know, like I said, the numbers weren't eye-popping, but, man, they were efficient. Yeah. Yeah, I think you were 17 of 23, 199, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, that's a really good day, and I think that's 74% maybe you completed on the season. You're hitting 68. What's the number? Just for you, what's the number of that line of demarcation where if I'm over this number, I feel like I'm having a good day?
I think that 70% mark is usually the ideal spot. Anything over that is going to be great, and if you can go above the 80%, that's going to be an elite level game, and your chances are the team was scoring a lot of points and moving in the right direction the whole day.
Cam's with us here on the Bill Riley Show today, brought to you by Nova Data Centers. I want to ask you about Jalen Dixon. You and I talked in the offseason and camp kind of ramping up guys that might be able to come back. Jalen, JD, was just so good early in his career, you know, really kind of before you took over, kind of Tyler's last year. We saw those glimpses and flashes of his speed and really what he could do. And I talked to him on the coach's show the other night, and we talked about it. He had some off-the-field things, depression and other things that he was dealing with, and he almost left the program. I think he's the only guy that's ever gone in the portal at Utah that Coach Witt allowed to come back. And that kind of time, I talked to Kyle about that a little bit too. But now that he's back, he's got such a very unique skill set that really nobody else on the team has, maybe one other. But he's got back-to-back games scoring touchdowns. Saturday was his first ever multi-touchdown game. Yeah. What does he, in your mind, mean to your offense?
I mean, it's hard not to talk about that speed. I mean, whenever you have a guy like that, that just makes the whole field look like it's moving in slow motion, and because he's running right through it and just creasing it, it brings a whole different dynamic to the game and really causes the safeties to really stretch and make sure that they're getting depth because they don't want to lose to him in a one-on-one because they know if they don't get a hand on him or do something to disrupt his track, he's gonna go run by him and make it easy. And yeah, he just brings a whole different component to the offense that you really need to just be dynamic and have all three levels of the game kind of handled.
What was it on PlayStation, on the old PlayStations, the B button?
Yeah.
Was that the speed button?
One
of those buttons was the speed
usually
button.
Usually the trigger.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, I think that was the B.
The right trigger was A and B up top.
Yeah, you'd always hit the B button for a burst. I always feel like on the end of rounds especially.
No doubt.
When he turns that corner, he's hitting the B button and going.
Yeah, it's fun just handing him the ball off and watching him go hit that turn. One of my favorite plays is 2019 against Arizona. He got a reverse and took it to the house. Got called back because of holding call, but it just shows how fast that man really is and what he can do when he gets the ball in his hands.
You know, as impressive as the end of rounds for touchdowns have been, the touchdown catch Saturday to me was impressive because what it showed, it was a short one. It was I think it was 19 yards, but you always think of Jalen as the guy that just runs by guys. Well, he had, you know, when you're 19 yards away, it's hard to run by a guy. He had a really good release on that ball, and he said when he lined up in the slot, he said that he knew there was no safety help. Did you see that too? He said he felt like you two knew immediately where you were going to go with that ball.
Yeah, I was licking my chops. I knew I could have told you pre-snap going right there, and yeah, just I knew JD was going to win from the release, his quickness, and just doing that. So I just knew I had to get the ball up and down fast so he can make a catch and get the band going.
It just his speed and what he brings just adds another level to your offense that,
absolutely,
you know, and I know money's fast too and things like that, and you'll get him a little bit more involved as things go, but it's good to see him back, especially what he's battled through. The other guy I wanted to ask you a little bit about was Munir.
Yeah.
He had the one catch Saturday, but you kind of got to see, you know, his after catch skill set, because you threw it to him 2 or 3 yards from the line of scrimmage, and he kind of dug it out a little bit.
Great catch.
But then he made a guy miss. He ran through another guy and ended up picking up 10 or 11 yards.
Yeah, he's a playmaker, and ever since he stepped on campus, you can just tell that he's one of those players that has that smooth type of feel, really, really like running like Jerry Rice. It looks effortless, you know. It almost looks like they're jogging because it's so smooth. And
I think Witt says he glides.
He really does, and that's really what it is. And with him, whenever he gets the ball, he's just a freak of nature that can make a guy miss. 6'3", 220. I mean, it's hard to stop a guy like that. And he's just he catches the ball, and that's the most important thing. So we got to make sure we figure out a way to get him more involved.
Do you foresee his role growing as the season goes along?
Absolutely. He's a playmaker, and he's a guy that needs to get some touches.
You know, the storyline last week when you were in here and really all week long was, you know, how's Utah going to make up for Keithy's lost production? Did you feel like you guys did a pretty good job spreading it around, guys stepping up and kind of filling? I mean, again, we know you're not going to replace him.
Yeah.
It's group effort, but did you guys feel like you did a good job week one?
Yeah, I think everybody stepped up and really just raised their level of play and made sure that we did everything that we needed to make sure that we won the game.
We're talking to Cam here on the Bill Riley Show today. You mentioned QBR a second ago. It's an interesting stat. It's one quick Coach Witt loves. You're the leading QBR quarterback rating in the Pac-12 conference. The guy you're playing against this week, not you personally, but the other quarterback, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he's number two, having a great year, fifth year. And then the guy you'll see next week, Caleb Williams, is number three. So I'm just curious, do those numbers, does that quarter, I mean, I don't know what all goes, how the computer calculates it, but do you look at that at all? Is that something you pay much attention to?
I mean, it's something you definitely see when the numbers are released, and you just kind of take it for what it is with a grain of salt a little bit, because at the end of the day, like you said, I mean, I can't really tell you what the numbers really exactly mean, so I can't just abide by that. Yeah.
But Coach Witt loves it.
Oh, yeah.
Coach Ludd likes it. Yeah. I talked to him about it the other day. So those guys like it. Your number's good. Hey, run with it, right?
No doubt. Yeah, keep it going.
When you're standing on the sideline and you see Clark Phillips balling out the way he balled out on Saturday, I mean, you see him at practice every day, and you've said you two have great, great battles going back and forth. But all three of those interceptions, especially the first two, to me, clearly he's a great athlete and physically blessed. But both of those, and I think I said it on one of my calls or right after the play, both of those just rang of film study.
Yeah.
Because it looked like he knew the route as well as the wide receiver did and jumped both of them.
Yeah, that's why he's such a special player. I mean, it can be taking chances at sometimes, but really, really it's calculated chances with him. And he just makes sure and has a knack for going and playing the ball like that. And that's something he does during practice. And yeah, that just speaks volumes of the type of studying that he does and what he applies to the game. And yeah, just anytime you can jump plays like that, you're doing something special, and just got to keep it rolling.
I hope you thank the boys when you're going onto the field for the short fields they gave you all day, right?
Yeah. Oh, of course. Whenever you're starting opposite of the 50 and in your side in the scoring zone, really, you're gonna go down and get it because you owe those guys something.
I'll tell you the other guy that is absolutely having a great season. You know, when Clark picks off three and he's National Player of the Week and stuff, all the attention goes there. R.J. Hubert.
Yeah. I know. One of the
every
best.
Single yeah. game, I think this year, RJ's made a play of some sort, whether it's a pick, whether it's a strip, yeah. whether it's a scoop. Yeah. He seems like, I mean, for a guy that hasn't been really playing safety much for a few years, he's been terrific.
Yeah, he's a ball hawk, playmaker. I mean, I think he has probably the most rack yards besides Thomas on the team right now. Just with his yards after catch, he's doing great. And yeah, we just gotta keep going. And I know he's looking forward to this week and just finishing a great season that he's having.
Though I am gonna say, we joked about this in the booth on Saturday. It looked like he ran into Mo on purpose because it looked like he was running out of gas.
Tired,
he had run from the middle of the end zone up the sideline, and it looked like he was like that, or he just didn't have the energy to run around the because Diabate tripped him up on that sideline.
Yeah, he did. I know he was mad about that. He thought he was going to go get the whole thing, but yeah, it was awesome and nice to see Diabate always lead blocking for him. He just always ends up being out there blocking for him.
Do you work on your stiff arm much?
No, I don't do any Derrick Henry drills or nothing like
that. I'm just saying because, you know, Oregon last year, Rose Bowl last year, and then this past Saturday, a little stiff arm action too up that sideline. Is that just natural instinct? You don't work much on it?
I've done it my whole life. Yeah. Somebody taught me as a young man that wherever the head goes, the body goes, and that's why I like stiff arming, and it's something that usually keeps the defender away from you. So yeah, anytime you can take away that contact, that's always a positive.
How do you make the decision on whether to make a business decision when you get out on the edge like that? You know what I'm saying? We know what a business decision is. Look out for your best business.
No doubt.
And the decision whether to, obviously you want to pick up a first down, but like Saturday, you could have gone out of bounds if you wanted to, but you chose to keep going. Is there something in your mind? Are you reading the situation? Or is it just, I'm out here, I'm just going to go?
I mean, really, if I see a one-on-one, any type of opportunity, I don't think that's a situation to run out of bounds.
Right.
I don't think there's going to be a situation where somebody's going to really deliver a shot like that one-on-one, because I'm gonna do something that makes sure that I'm not taking a full hit. But usually the business decision comes when you start seeing two or three of the opposite colors on the field right in front of you, and then you just have to make a game time decision on whether you want to slide or just try and run out of bounds in that moment.
Because I'm going to guess you've had conversations with both Kyle Whittingham and Andy Ludwig about making good business decisions.
Absolutely. Yeah, they talk about protect the ball, protect the team, and protecting the ball is making sure that you don't have any turnovers, and protecting the team is really making sure that you stay healthy and available.
UCLA this week, you get to go back to the place where you were 10 months ago. In that game in Pasadena, it's a great setting. It's going to be a little different this time around than it was last time, but UCLA's crowd's gotten better the last couple of weeks. You get to go back home. Family and friends will be all out there. Do you like playing in that building?
Yeah, so it's a great venue. Anytime you get to play there, it's going to be fun.
What do you make of UCLA? They are undefeated right now. They hadn't really been tested a lot, but then last Friday they got tested against a good Washington team, and really – I think you and I were talking about this. I don't think the game was as close as the final score said it was. So when you put the tape on, maybe you watched a little bit Friday night when you're getting ready for Saturday's game. What stands out especially about UCLA?
I think their ability to stop the run. Any game you watch, really, I think there was only one team that had 162 rushing, and that really stands out. I think a lot of the other teams were under 100 yards, and anytime you're doing that, it's going to bode well for the defense. And, yeah, I think they do a great job establishing the line, and they got a Latu over there at the end who's very disruptive in the pass rush and the great secondary. So it'll be a fun opportunity to play them.
Latu is a Washington transfer. He started there, and he leads the Pac-12 right now. He's got 6 sacks on the season. He's kind of a hybrid guy, defensive end, linebacker type out on the edge, but his specialty is getting after the quarterback. So that's who Cam was talking about. This UCLA team has traditionally been not super physical. Got a new DC this year, so I don't know how much different the scheme is this year. A lot of the players are the same. Strength of that front, is it up front, linebackers, back end? What would you say is the strength of that UCLA defense?
Probably athleticism.
Over the place?
Yeah, I think they have a great front seven that is very athletic. They have a variety of packages where they can bring in 4 DNs and run that, or or just have one big tackle in there and 3DN. So they do some good stuff to switch it up and try to give different looks and make it tough for the offense.
You mentioned they've been good against the run. I don't know how many teams they've played really want to run it, but again, numbers are numbers, though. You just play who you play. You guys, statistically, the rush numbers look good. You're third in the Pac-12. You're averaging 200 a game. Last weekend, you were the leading rusher. You guys got 162 against a really good defense. But a lot of people have been a little concerned maybe because we haven't had that big game. Tavion hasn't gone for 150 or 160. Mekhi had, you know. So what do you make of your running game right now since you're kind of leading it up and heading it up? Are you concerned at all, or do you think the running game's where it should be?
No, I think the running game's where it should be, and I think we just gotta make sure that we continue being physical and really, really owning the brand of football that we play, and it's really nasty, physical, and just tough football, and that's the one component that we just gotta make sure that we're bringing and making sure that we're nasty and intentional whenever we're run blocking, and that comes from wideouts, tight ends, and the O-line, and even myself just finishing my fakes, and yeah, we just gotta continue to try and improve and make sure that we're doing everything that we can to advance the ball.
I'm curious, are you friendly? Do you know anybody on that UCLA team? Because you're a Southern California guy. They're littered with Southern California guys too.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Bo Calvert for a while, Dorian and Kazmir Allen. So those are some of my good friends on the team. Yeah.
How long have you known DTR? He played, I think he's a Southern California guy, but he played high school in Vegas at Bishop Gorman, right?
I couldn't even tell
it
you.
It is Bishop. It is.
Yeah.
Did you know he was a wide receiver
until
his senior year?
Yeah.
And they made him a quarterback at Gorman his senior year. So when he got to college, everybody used to talk about his athleticism, Cam, and he was. And I kind of joked about this the other night with Witt on the coach's show. I said, you know, for the first few years of his career, I kind of think he was an athlete playing quarterback.
Yeah.
But now with 5 years under Chip Kelly, I think he's probably more like a quarterback who's a really good athlete. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. I think he's made just leaps and bounds and really has tightened everything up and just stopped trying to always rely on the athleticism. And yeah, he just making sure that he's moving the ball and throwing the ball from the pocket and doing everything that he needs to do it to help the team win.
You mentioned Kazmir Allen. He's a good wide receiver, super fast guy.
Fast as all get out. He's a great player and just a playmaker.
Cam Rising with us here on the Bill Riley Show today on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700. Thanks to our friends at Nova Data Centers who sponsor our conversation with Cam every week. I want to go away from the field for just a minute because I'm really curious with you and your time and managing your time. In addition to being obviously the leader of the football team and the star quarterback, in this day and age now of NIL, you're able to go out and market yourself and cash in on your name. And I don't think anybody on the team has done a better job of it than you. This interview every week raises your platform. You turn on the TV at night, there might be a couple of Cam Rising commercials on TV. You do radio commercials. You do individual appearances. So kind of take us behind the curtain a little bit about how some of this stuff comes about, how you decide what you want to do and things like that.
I got an agent that really, really likes to make sure that he's just calling and reaching out to a lot of businesses and making sure that he handles all that. And I like to really stay out of all the contract negotiation and all that stuff. But yeah, he's out there calling, working and making sure that he's talking to every possible outlet he can. And usually once something gets developed, then we talk about it and make sure that they understand that football is first and that I need to be able to make sure that I'm at every obligation football-wise and make sure that I'm still able to do everything that I need to do to make sure that I'm ready to go, because without football, none of that stuff really matters. So, and my agent does a great job making it easy for me. And really during season, I like to try and put it as much on the back burner as I can, but during the bye week, probably have to do a few obligations and take it from there.
Yeah, I was going to say, did most of the deals get done in the off season, and a lot of the work that we see on radio and TV and places like that all get done in the off season?
Yeah, as much as I could, I try to get it done. But yeah, of course, you're always going to have a few obligations here and there. But besides that, yeah, that's been about it.
Have you said no to much? Have things come to you and you said, nah, maybe I don't want to do that one? And what kind of goes into your thought process when you're picking and choosing who to work with?
Well, first, I mean, is it worth it? Is it even worth my time to go do these seven different things that they want me that they're requiring me to do to sign this deal? And if it's not, then it's not something that I'm going to be interested in. And that's why I appreciate having an agent, because he can tell me firsthand, like, okay, this is probably not the best deal in the world. And he just has that knowledge about having been in the game for so long. And he really makes my job just that much easier.
Do you enjoy doing it?
Yeah.
Do you enjoy doing the TV? Do you enjoy doing the radio, the podcast, the appearances and stuff like that?
I mean, yeah, I don't mind it. It's not something that I wake up and I'm like, let's go do this. I'm kind of just a homebody guy that likes to be at home. But yeah, sometimes you gotta go out and expand your horizons a little bit.
It's a job.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a job every bit as much as football's a job or going to school's a job. It's a job. And, you know, maybe it's not your favorite thing to do, but if you're good at it and you approach it that way and it's a job, you deal with it because it's lucrative.
No doubt. And yeah, it's fun. And it really just allows me to get outside of my comfort zone and really just try something new and switch it up. And it's been fun so far.
Do you feel like it's helped you kind of grow a little bit as a person and kind of your personality and, you know, being out in front of people a lot and things like that?
Absolutely. I mean, just anytime you're talking to the higher ups of a company and working with them and really just being around them, you're gonna absorb some knowledge that they have and just really improve yourself. And yeah, I think hopefully it's helped me as a businessman and as a person as well.
I mean, I can't believe they didn't ask you to be part of Fansville.
I know.
Like Bryce Young.
Yeah. I know. That would have been fun.
That's a deal right there. Yeah. I mean, he's in the
that.
Dr. Pepper stuff every week. So, I mean, you don't have to say who they are because they might not be spending money with us. But how many clients do you think you're working? Get ballpark. Maybe you know the exact number. Maybe you don't. But what do you think the number of businesses and clients you're working with is?
Like actively still involved with them, like that type of
just people you've worked with actively right now that you're, you know, whether it's you've already done the commercials or running or stuff you're going to be doing moving forward.
I can't. I'm not too sure. I think
just a guess.
Probably around eight.
Okay.
Nine. Yeah.
That's a good number.
Yeah.
That's a good number.
Absolutely.
That's a real good number. I figured it was probably somewhere between about 7 and 10 is where I figured it was because you'll see Cam from time to time. I can mention Les Olson IT, our friends at Les Olson IT, obviously here, our friends at Nova Data Centers. I think you've got the deal with Puka Nakua, Mountain America Credit Union. So you've got that and some other stuff coming up. So you guys keep your eyes open. You'll see Cam popping up on your TV and on your radio and some other places here in the commercials and ads and things.
Absolutely.
So you're enjoying it though.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Okay. Does it mean anything to you or your teammates that like the next 2 weeks, this game and the next game, you're going to have eyeballs galore on the program? I mean, you're on Big Fox. This is not FS1. This game's not being played at 8:30 at night. This is on Big Fox. 1:30 Mountain, 3:30 Eastern. Next week, it's going to be on Big Fox at 6:00 Mountain, 8:00 Eastern. Does that mean something? Knowing like the country, you're the main game that most of the country is going to see.
No, it doesn't really mean anything.
No?
Just going to be more people watching the football game. That's all it really means. At the end of the day, yeah, you got to go out there and handle business between the lines and. That's really the main focus, and you just got to keep that the main focus.
Do you think it means something to recruits or to the program where it's easier to see the game? I mean, going back to your days, I mean, when schools were recruiting you, does it mean something when it's easy to find them and find their games?
Absolutely. I mean, it makes a world of difference. When back in college, I remember watching Texas, and there were some games that would be on the Longhorn Network, and I couldn't watch it. I couldn't figure out a way to pull it up, and it always kind of ticked me off just not being able to watch it. So anytime you do get the ESPN, Fox, or anything like that, it's usually going to bode well and make it Yeah. Make it a lot easier for recruits and fans to watch.
The guys in the recruiting department and the assistant coaches that work with the recruits on things, it's big for them because they don't have to give directions on how to find it or stream it or whatever.
This link. Yeah.
Here you go. Just go to your local Fox channel and it will be on.
Yes, sir.
And you'll be able to see it. So what are your expectations? What are you expecting on Saturday with UCLA going back down to the Rose Bowl? Being a good number of Utah fans, there's always are in Southern California, but what are your expectations for the Bruins?
It's going to be a good, exciting, just physical and competitive game, and it's going to be a fun one, and it's going to be back and forth, and just really looking forward to getting out there with the guys and having some fun.
Being back on that field where you guys were so very close, it's a great place, by the way.
Is.
That field, the grass, the experience is great, isn't
it? Unreal. It's second to none. I mean, just that historical venue is awesome, and having grown up, so being so close to it, it's a special place to play.
So I gave you an opportunity to do this. Let me coach you up since I do commercials and things like that. When we were talking about NIL and things, that's where you were supposed to slide in, CameronRising.com.
Yeah.
Tell people what the website is and what they can get on your website.
CameronRising.com. Got some shirts on there right now. Half of the proceeds will be going to the 22 Foundation for Ty and Aaron, and appreciate all the help you can offer.
So CameronRising.com, you can shop it there, pick up some gear. Little goes to Cam, little goes to the Ty and Aaron Fund at the University of Utah. So it's a really good deal, and you get geared up, and the stuff's cool. Cam's dad puts it together. Cam gives it the okay, and then they put it up there, and they'll get it to you in a couple of days too. So, hey, thanks as always for coming in. It's great seeing you. Be safe the rest of the week. We'll see you on Saturday.
Appreciate you. Looking forward to it.
There you go. Cam Rising with us, brought to you by Nova Data Centers here on ESPN 700. We appreciate them. We appreciate Cam coming in as well.